On tonight, you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Of course, that's my favorite version. Sometimes I'll go between the New American Standard or the New Living, whatever, but I always come back to the New American Standard somehow. Matthew chapter 2, I'll read those 12 verses really quickly, but we're going to concentrate on verse 2, 7, 9, and 10. 2, 7, 9, and 10. As we're reading, you look for 2, pay special attention, 7, pay special attention, 9, pay special attention, verse 10. Let's go. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet," quote, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel," end quote. And then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." And after hearing the king, they went their way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. I said pay particular attention to verses 2, 7, 9, and 10, because those verses in particular talk about how these Magi, how they found the Lord, how they found the Christ, the Messiah. They wouldn't have known who he was. They wouldn't have known how to find him. But God provided them a way. In 2, 7, 9, and 10, God himself provided, the Magi were the wisest men of the East. They were the wisest men. If anyone who could have discerned where the Messiah was or what time he would have been born or where exactly was, they would have done that. But they could not discern where he was. They needed help. And God helped them, even though they were the wisest men of that day. God helped them. How did he do it? He placed a star in the sky. They literally saw a star rise in the East, and they began to follow that star. And they followed that star until they came into the land of Israel. And then they began to inquire about the Christ, about the Messiah, found out he was supposed to be in Bethlehem. And then that star again began to move in the direction of Bethlehem, where the Messiah was. And they followed that star until that star came and just stood right over where he was. God didn't want him to make a mistake. God didn't want him to miss it. God had a way for them to find the Messiah, to know that it was him. You know, it would have been devastating if they'd got to the wrong house. If they'd gone to the wrong apartment, it would have been devastating. If they'd gone to the wrong barn, it wouldn't have been good. But God had a way. He had a sophisticated way where they wouldn't make a mistake and they could follow. They just followed that star until that star stood right over him. And God, he's always had a sophisticated guidance system. Our message tonight, God's guidance system. God's guidance system. Look at somebody and tell them, God's guidance system. That's what we're talking about tonight. Look at somebody else. Help me out. Tell them, God's guidance system. He wants to lead you. Tell somebody that. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Yeah, God's guidance system. That's what we're talking about tonight. You know, in modern technology is always so wonderful and so convenient. I know, you know, in my car, if I'm going somewhere and I don't know where the address is, I just go to my, if the address has been typed into my calendar, then my car reads my calendar. And when I get in the car and bring up the navigation unit, it asks me, "Do you want to go to this address?" And I just press a button and say yes. It's real sophisticated. Or I can go to my phone, I can go to the Volvo app and bring up the little maps area and type in an address, and it will electronically send it to the car. And when I open the door to the car, it'll bring up what I typed in my phone. Or it'll ask me, do you want to use the car's navigation system or do you want to use your phone's navigation system? And it'll monitor live traffic for me. It's real sophisticated. The guidance system in modern cars today, and I'm sure mine's probably not the latest, but if there's an accident ahead, it'll say there's an accident 10 miles ahead. You're still on the fastest route, or it'll say you're no longer on the fastest route. Would you like for me to reroute you? Yeah. It's the guidance systems in the cars today, the satellite navigation down to them, real traffic navigation, it reads the signs. It'll tell me the signs. It reads the speed limits. Yeah. But with all of our fancy technology today, we ain't got a thing on God's navigation system, on God's guidance system. What we're talking about tonight, God is so far beyond anything that man can think of. We think of that kind of stuff, think, oh, that fancy, ooh, that fancy, ooh, that's nice, ooh, that ain't got 2 cents worth of nothing compared to what God has provided for you and I. He's always had a way to guide his people. Here, when the Magi needed to know how to get to the Christ child, that was very important that they come and acknowledge him, that they come and reverence and worship him. And God had a guidance system, bought a star right up in the sky. Let him follow that star. He's always had a guidance system, our God. When you go over to Exodus, go with me to Exodus real quick. In Exodus, oh man, God, the Lord, he's always had a way to guide his people. God's people have never been without his guidance. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. I'm going to read it 21, but the verses above that are, it talks about how God led Israel to come out of Egypt. You know, when they came out of Egypt, he didn't just say, leave Egypt. He led them out. He said, I've got a plan. Even when they left, after 450 years of bondage, God had a plan to lead them out. They weren't just to go haphazardly wandering aimlessly anywhere. He led them out. And 17 and 18, 19 says God specifically led them a certain way. He was leading them. He was on a plan. He was on a mission. He was God. 2.5 million people. And he was leading them. You say, how you know it was 2.5 million people? Because in the previous chapter, don't go there, we don't have time for that, but chapter 12, verse 37, says it was 600,000. When they counted, they just counted men, it was 600,000 men marched out of Egypt. Didn't count the women. So if you at least double that for the women, and then they say by the amounts of children people had back then, you have to add at least 2 children to every family. So if you double the 600,000 and account for the 2 children, you come to a figure around close to 2.5 million people, historians say safely. That's a lot of people. And God, he made sure, how did he lead them? You remember how he led them? Yeah, he had a cloud. He had a cloud for them during the day, and he had a pillar of fire at night. That's where we're at. We're in Exodus 13, verse 21. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them. Notice that, to lead them on the way. And in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And the way Israel knew where the Lord wanted them to go is they followed that cloud during the day. And if the cloud stopped, they stopped. At night when they were traveling, they followed that pillar of fire by night. And if that fire stopped, they stopped. Even when Pharaoh relents of his decision to let Israel go. You remember that? And he started chasing them. And even when they caught up to Israel, the Bible says that the cloud of the Lord descended and separated between Pharaoh's army and between the people of God. He put his cloud between them. Yeah. And they couldn't go any further. They had to cease operations. They would have attacked Israel right then, but they couldn't attack them because they couldn't see. There was a cloud between. God had his people. He had his people hemmed in. He had a hedge of protection around them. A preacher can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, God's got a hedge of protection around you. Yes, he does.
I said, that hedge begins with the blood and ends with the word. And somewhere in there, angels are guarding you and I, glory to God. I said, he's got a hedge of protection around you. Yeah. And so he had that cloud, that pillar. And so that fire, the pillar of cloud and that fire, man, God guided his people. He guided them. God's guidance system. Go with me over to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at the very last verse in the book of Acts. The book of Acts chapter 1. We're talking tonight about God's guidance system. Because I believe, you know, we're approaching this new year, 2020. And God, he wants to lead you. God wants to guide you. God has heard your prayer. He's heard you asking him for direction. He's heard you asking him for help. He's heard you saying, Father, I've got a major decision to make. I've got to make some changes. I've got some things that have to be done. I've got some things that are critical. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to make a mistake, right? And God's heard your prayer, and God, he laid it in my heart. Hey, pull out these scriptures. Pull out these scriptures and let me lead. Let me lead my people. Let me lead you into these scriptures, and then I'll lead my people. In Acts chapter 1, just for the sake of time, I'm reading the last verse. It is, in fact, verse 26. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. That's an interesting scripture, isn't it? They drew lots. Drew lots for them. Drew lots. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. You remember what was going on here. Judas had betrayed the Lord. And because Judas had betrayed the Lord, the office that Judas held had been predicted in Scripture. Hundreds of years before it had ever happened in Scripture, God predicted through the prophets that Judas would betray him and that another man would fulfill Judas's vacant office. All that, and we don't have time to go to Psalm 69 and all that, but in the messianic prophetic scriptures, all of that just was predicted hundreds of years before. Yeah. God didn't want anybody to miss who the Messiah wanted us to be able to just track it right to the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And so anyway, while they're in the upper room praying, they're waiting for the promise that Jesus had promised, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And during that 10-day period, Peter is looking at the word, and Peter realizes from Scripture that they have an obligation, all 120 of those folks in the upper room. Peter realizes we have a scriptural admonition to pick a replacement for Judas. Now that'd be a coveted position to be one of the, you know, Judas was one of the 12 apostles, one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, right? So you're going to replace him. You could say the 13th or the replacement for Judas, the 13th apostle of the, man, that would be a coveted position. Everybody would want to apply for that. How you gonna know who to pick? How would you know? And the scripture says this is how they picked that person. They drew lots. It almost doesn't seem consistent with New Testament scripture, because you never see a scripture like this again. After this scripture, you never find that in New Testament again. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, you never find them drawing a lot, pulling a lot, casting a lot to find out God's will. But the lot before Acts chapter 2 was entirely and thoroughly a scriptural thing for Israel. It was the best they had at that time. It was the best they had. The prophet, the priest, and the king, they were the ones who the Holy Spirit visited. And so the people, when they needed answers, they had to get it from the prophet, the priest, or the king. And so the priest would use the Urim and the Thummim. And they would, you say, well, what is that? The lot. It's also known as the Urim and the Thummim. And what the priest in the vest pocket of his priestly garments, there was something like stones. Sometimes they would use sticks, but stones typically. And when the priest wanted to hear from God on behalf of the people, he would carve one possible answer on the stone, and then the stones would be cat, like in this case, a name would be Matthias's name would be on one stone, and then the other brother, what was his name, Judas or his name would be on the other stone. And so Justice and Matthias, Barsabbas and Matthias. So they would, what they would do, typically they would write the names of them on the stone, and then the priest would say, "Now, Lord, choose which of these two you've chosen." Cast the stone, and the stone that came up with that name, that's how they knew that was God's will. You say, "Brother Bill, I ain't never heard nothing like that." Okay, go to Proverbs. We don't have time for me to go to Proverbs 16:33. Proverbs 16:33. We're talking about God's guidance system. God's guidance system. And I'll tell you, God has a way to lead you. God has a way to guide you. Proverbs 16:33. I'm getting there slow. I took the long road. Proverbs 16:33. Okay. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. Do you see that? It was how they did it in the Old Testament. It was the best they had. It was what God allowed for a time. They would cast the lot and they would discover the will of God. Now, Satan has perverted that. And you see people down there at the gambling house saying, "Come on, seven," and cast my die, whatever. It's a perverted thing of what God, but God would, he would actually turn the die in a certain way, or the stone, not die. He would turn the stone a certain way or the stick a certain way so that they would know that he actually made that decision. We don't have time, but I could take you to Deuteronomy and show you how when Israel divided up the land for inheritance, it was all divided up by lot. They cast lot to determine which tribe got which portion of land. If you go to Joshua 7, when Israel is defeated at Ai, and Joshua doesn't know what happened. Why did we get defeated? They just had a big, huge victory, you know, at Jericho. They go to the next town. They're just annihilated. And Joshua doesn't know why. And God tells him, "Get up off your face. There's sin in this camp." But nobody will admit to it. And God's telling Joshua, "You've got to find the person who committed the sin. You've got to deal with that sin. And then I'll fight for Israel again." And when Joshua puts out the call, nobody says nothing. Mum was the word. And since Joshua couldn't find out, he chose the lot. He used the lot, and they cast lots. And by lot, they said, "Lord, show us what tribe it is." And as they cast the lot, the Lord revealed the tribe. And then they said, "Now, Lord, show us what family it is." And they cast lots from that tribe, and that God revealed the family. And then they said, "Now, Lord, we've got it narrowed down to these specific people." And they said, "Now, by lot, show us who did it." And when they cast the lot, Achan's name came up. That's how Joshua knew it. He knew it by lot, the casting of the lot. And then he told Achan, "You remember, come on up here and don't you leave a word out. Tell me everything you did." You know, and the story progresses from there. That was all done by lot. It was the best they had at the time. God has always had a way to lead his people. And as New Testament believers, you and I are sitting on a gold mine. You and I have the best of any generation of people who have followed God in all of history. You and I have arrived at a time in history where God is leading us by his Spirit down on the inside. Previously, Israel was always led from the outside in. It was the cloud, and it was the pillar of fire, and it was the lot, and God led them. He led them that way. Oh, but God said, "There's a day coming. There's a glorious day coming. There's a hallelujah shouting glory day coming when the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and going to not just be upon you, going to come inside you, going to be down on the inside you, and he'll be a comforter to you. He'll be a guide. He'll be a counselor. He'll be a standby. I wish I had a name. He'll be an advocate. He'll be a strengthener." He said the Holy Spirit will be down on the inside of you. You won't have to look to a man in that day. You won't have to look to a man to guide you. In that day, you won't have to go to the prophet to guide you. In that day, you won't have to cast the lot to guide you. In that day, you won't have to look up for a pillar of cloud or the fire to God. In that day, hey, it'll be right down on the inside of you. And God said, "You'll have access to me day and night. I'm going to grant 24/7 access to you as my child." If you are in that day, anybody in Christ, can be led by me, God said. Anybody in Christ gonna be led by me. down on the inside. Ask me what you want. Ask me what you will. Ask me what you want. I'll lead you and guide you. Yeah. And I tell you, God, he can show you more down there on your knees than you can see through a telescope. He can show you more down there on your knees than you can read in the paper. He can show you more down there on your knees than you can get off the evening news. God can show you more down there on your knees than you can get from some navigation system in your car. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. That ain't got nothing on God. I said, God can lead you. God can guide you. God can protect you. God can say, hold on right now. I'm blessing you. Stay right there. I got a blessing for you. God can say, go this way now. Go that way. God, I said, God wants to lead you. And see, the thing about it is he knows you've got decisions to make. You know, this time of year, people spending major bucks. The eagle is flying. But I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to check in over with the Lord before you make major purchases. Because February is coming. January, when those bills come due, if you do it by plastic. There's nothing wrong with plastic if plastic don't have us. I said, but God's got a better way. God wants to lead you. God wants to guide you down on the inside. Go with me. To Romans. Let's go Romans 8 first. Romans chapter 8. Real quick, you know these scriptures. Romans 8, 14, Romans 8, 16. We can quote them. We'll just read them. Romans 8, 14, Romans 8, 16. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God doesn't want us being led. He doesn't want us being guided any other kind of way. He wants us to be led by his Spirit. And all being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit himself testifies where? With our mind. No. With our spirit. The Spirit testifies with our spirit. Where's God speaking to us at? Down on the inside. The inward witness. Write this one down. We don't have time to go back there. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Go back to Acts real quick. Go back to Acts. Acts. Boy, I tell you, in Acts 15. Acts 15. 15:28. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. That is a powerful blockbuster of a scripture. What's being decided in Acts 15 is how a person in the New Testament church would be acceptably born again. What's required for a person to be born again? There was much debate in the church. That was about 49 AD. It's about the time Galatians was written. And there was lots of debate, and many were saying that if you're going to be a New Testament believer, you got to convert to Judaism, follow all the Judaic laws, and then get born again. And there was great debate in the church. And they called a council. They convened a council of all the pillars of the church. And they got together to say, we've got to hear from God. We can't have this indecision in the church. Some people are getting born again and people are making them go become, follow all the Jewish rituals and Jewish laws. We can't do that. Other people are saying it's faith alone. What is it? We've got to hear from God. We've got to hear from God. We've got to hear from God. That's how they concluded it. Verse 15:28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. In other words, they didn't have a prophetic utterance. That would have been great. They didn't have a prophetic utterance. They didn't have some outward leading. What they had on the inside, it seemed right on the inside. They were getting that decision down on the inside. They were getting that decision with the inward witness. Woo, don't neglect the inward witness during this season. I said, this is, you know, you're doing your shopping just for your shopping and all that. Don't neglect, because God can get you some good deals too. Woo. And I know, you know, people say, rush, rush, rush. If you don't get a day, you never get it. It's going to be nice now. But you better go home. And look on the inside. Before you lay out your ducats, that's money. Lay out your money. No, listen, it would behoove us to be more God inside minded, because that's how God leads us. It's Romans 8, 14. It's Romans 8, 16. It's Proverbs 20:27. Go to Acts 27. Acts 27, verse 10. Acts 27, verse 10. Paul got on a freight a ship. He got on a ship loaded with freight, coastal freighter. They also had lots of people on board, 276 people, including Paul, 276 people on board, and the ship was loaded with freight. Paul was a prisoner. He wasn't a sailor. He was a preacher, but he was a prisoner. And he stepped on board the ship. He stepped on board the ship, and when he got on board the ship, that's Acts 27:10, right? He stepped on board the ship, and when he got on board the ship, he's supposed to be headed to Rome. He said, "Sirs, I perceive something's wrong." He got in his car and said, "Something is wrong. Something's wrong." He said, "I perceive there's going to be an accident. There's going to be a loss of cargo. There's going to be a loss of life. On the inside, I don't feel right about that thing. Don't feel right about that thing." Somebody said, "It ain't quite right. It ain't quite right. If it ain't quite, it ain't right." I perceive. He said, "Sirs, I perceive. I perceive there's going to be loss of cargo. There's going to be loss of life." They ignored him. They said, "You just a preacher. You don't know nothing about sailing." They got a south wind and they set out and they instantly were blown hundreds of miles off course. And they lost that ship. They lost all the cargo. And God told Paul, "Fear not, because I'm going to spare you. And I'm going to spare you. And because I'm sparing you, in my mercy, I'm going to spare all 275 of the rest of them. I'm going to spare all of them." And they landed on that island of Malta. But what am I saying to you? God's guidance system. This is a season. You're getting ready for 2020. And this is the time when, look, we're all busy. We're shopping, cooking, doing all kind of stuff. But this, it would behoove every one of us to take just a little time and wait back over on the Lord. It would behoove us to obey Psalm 46:10. Be still, know that I'm God. And in the hustle and the bustle of the holiday season, to just be God inside minded. I tell you, if we do that, we'll have such peace. If we be God inside minded, we just have such peace. God can just lead us by his peace. When we're God inside minded, he can just lead us with peace. Some people can ask you to do some things. It might be a good thing, but you can know on the inside. You can have peace on the inside. Yeah. And I tell you this, God will never, he will never contradict his word. And his spirit and his word will never contradict each other. And someone says, "Well, I want to get better. I want to get better at discerning what God's saying on the inside." We all have to get better. And I'll tell you why. Because people run around looking for a word from somebody else. They're looking for a word from somebody else. Prophet so-and-so. Prophet, you know, God has authentic ministry gifts in the church. Thank God. Thank God for the reality, the validity. But that's not the primary way a New Testament believer is supposed to be led. And if you rely on another man, woman, boy, or child to lead you, to give you leading, and you don't let it confirm something God's already confirmed, spoken to you on the inside, you're going to get misled. You're going to get fleeced that way. I said, amen. I said, we have it the best of every generation of God's people from the beginning. Nobody has it better than the people of God have it right now. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. You know what we need? A greater sensitivity to him. Someone said, in our remaining moments, how can we get a greater sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, we need to take more time for the word. Take more time reading the word, reading and meditating in scripture. Take more time, spend more time in the word. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. You know, Colossians 3:15-16. Let his word just saturate. I mean, this literally means let the word saturate you. Let the word saturate you. The more we let the word saturate us, the easier it is for God to lead us by his spirit. The more sensitive we'll be. We'll be accurate as we're discerning the Lord. Get saturated. Saturate your heart and mind with the word. Saturate with the word. Yeah. Secondly, listen, follow after peace. Follow after peace. God's showing you something on the inside. Don't seem right. Don't do that. And sometimes it's just a matter of his timing. But follow after peace. Listen, thirdly and finally, just all we have, there's more we obviously could say about this, but just all the time we have tonight. But 1 Corinthians 14:2, we'll end on this scripture. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, talking about becoming more sensitive. God's guidance system. God's got a guidance system, all right. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. Yeah. That word mysteries has been translated answers. So in other words, when we're praying in the Spirit, we're speaking in the Spirit, listen, there are different purposes and uses, thank God, for other tongues. It's not just one purpose, one use. Sometimes we're praising God and magnifying the Lord. Listen, there are other times when we're praying. When you start praying in the Spirit, when you yield yourself over in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, taking extra time to pray in the Holy Ghost. When we take that time and pray in the Holy Ghost, God can speak to you. Woo! And your heart will become so sensitive to Him. You'll start sensing things before they happen. You'll start knowing things before they happen. When we take time to pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible said right there, 14:2, 1 Corinthians 14:2, He speaks mysteries. He's speaking to God and He's speaking mysteries. The word mysteries means answers. He's speaking out. So sometimes when we're praying in the Spirit, we're actually speaking our answer out. We may not understand it. Our mind doesn't understand it because we're praying in tongues, but you're speaking the answer out. You're speaking your answer out. You're speaking your answer out, and you keep on praying. You keep on praying. You keep on speaking it out. You keep on speaking it out, and your mind is going to pick up on it and interpret it, and you're going to see which way you're going. You're going to know what you're doing. You got a problem you can't solve. Take some time. Yield yourself over in the realm of praying in the Spirit. And God can lead you, God can guide you, God can help you, whatever it is, God's guidance system. Whatever you need help with, God wants to help you tonight. He wants to lead you, He wants to guide you, He wants to help you in this new year. For some, there might be adjustments or changes that have to be made. How are you going to know that? You going to make adjustments just because you see somebody else doing it? It'd be much better just to follow the Lord. This time of year, people say, in Christendom, and I understand, well, anybody got a word from the Lord? No, anybody hear from the Lord? Anybody got a word from the Lord? Anybody heard from the Lord? And then somebody comes up with something catchy, and they say, okay, that's it. That's the word of the Lord. And that may be, maybe that is. But I can tell you this, God's got a specific word for you. God's got specific leading for you. God's got specific direction for you. God's got specific leading and direction for you in this new year. God will show you what to do. God will guide you. And I tell you, He'll protect you and bless you. And I tell you, we get His plan, we'll just be so blessed because His plan already has His blessing on it. All right, bow your heads with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in our time tonight, we have endeavored to share about your guidance system. He is, in fact, the Holy Spirit. It is, in fact, your Holy Word down on the inside. It's the inward witness primarily. We know that you can speak in other ways, but we know that primarily, we're not saying, Father God, you don't speak in other ways, but primarily to the New Testament believer, it's the inward witness primarily. Not the only way, but primarily. And so, Father, then I pray for those who have been frustrated because they've wanted you to lead them, and yet through whatever situation or circumstance, they've not interpreted the right leading, or they've not gotten the right sense from what you want them to do, and they've been frustrated. And I pray tonight, Father God, that as you love on them, that you'll help them, you'll redirect them, you'll help them to make those necessary adjustments, lead and guide your people. Father, people have to make decisions about their health care. People have to make decisions about their families, about their jobs, about how they're spending their monies, about moving or staying or whatever it is you're leading them to do. And Father God, we thank you for guiding your people on tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment here, if anybody's here tonight and you don't know what would happen to you if you were to die tonight, oh my. At the beginning of this service, we had such joy of salvation and the blessings and provision of God. Ushers, help me real quick now. If you're here tonight, every head is bowed except for our ushers. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Listen, if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus, or you don't know what would happen to you if you died tonight, if you suddenly died, God forbid, you suddenly died, you say, I don't know where I'd go. I hope I'd go to heaven. You say, I hope I'd go. I don't know. Can anybody know that? I want you to lift your hand. Let me pray for you because you can know. Is anybody here like that? Is anybody here tonight and you know what it's like to receive Jesus? You say, I've received Jesus as my Savior, but I haven't let Him be my Lord recently, and I've been going my own way, calling my own shots, doing my own thing. Is anybody here like that? You're a Christian, all right, but you're not walking in fellowship with God. You know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. Anybody here like that? Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you. God wants to help you. Anybody here like that? One last time. I'm going to look one last time. Anybody here like that? God wants to help you. Okay. Father, we don't see any hands tonight. We thank you for speaking to your people, confirming, reaffirming in them. Help us all to become more sensitive in our spirit. Help us all to be more sensitive, Father, to the inward witness. We know you speak in different ways, but Father, we know the primary way you're speaking to the New Testament believer is through the inward witness. Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16, Proverbs 20:27, Acts 27:10. We know that that on the inside is where you're leading and guiding us. Help us in our shopping. Help us in our spending. Help us in our planning. Help us as we approach this new year. Guide us and lead us. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.